time I come here, I get to see some people that I knew when they were pups. I look at Anthony and Bart and Kyle. I played basketball against these guys when I first got into town, and I remember playing. This is where I developed, when I played against them, is where I developed my fadeaway, because out of necessity, because they could jump and I couldn't anymore. And I still have my fadeaway, Bart, but it really is hard for me to get back up after it because I keep fading and I end up falling back. And so I'm giving up basketball. So it's good to be here with you. We're going to be in Romans 8, and I'm really looking forward to this. And so every time I share God's word, and I know I'm going to be sharing God's word, I get into a journey. I just spend time in a passage. And my desire is this, is I want to just share with you some of the things that I've learned. I'm not here to tell you that I have this all right. But I think there's some things that hopefully we can be encouraged by today. So we'll look at Romans 8 in just a little bit. But I want to start with a story. I don't know if I'm looking for some people that I know, and I won't call them out. So because if they're not here, then they're embarrassed. You guys will have to make fun of them. Actually, let's do that. Is Ron Coffee here? Ron? Oh, good. You're off the hook. All right. You were there, though. Is Jordan here? Jordan McIntyre. So, he's on our staff. Works with me. He says he goes here. I'm wondering now. So, we'll be checking in on that one. Jordan was away for a week for our national training, so I know he's probably recouping a little bit. But this happened on New Year's Eve. I was with Ron and Gia and with some other couples, and I, in the middle of just playing a game, I was asked by the deans if I would be willing to officiate the wedding of Alex and Darla this coming Labor Day in 2017. And I was quick to say I would absolutely be honored to be a part of that. It got me thinking about the story of Alex because I can remember a little over 20 years ago, David and I becoming friends, and we were comparing notes and talking about when we had knelt at the foot of the bed of our sons, and our daughters, and praying with them to ask Jesus into their heart. And just kind of talking about, one of the things we're talking about is, do they really understand what they're talking about? Do they understand what they're doing? And the answer is, no, of course not. They don't know fully what this means, but that's the idea of growing someone in Christ, is they continue to know what that means. And so as they grew into their salvation, David and I, our families were friends for a lot of years and did a lot of things together. And so I'm honored to be a part of this. The reason I mention this is because about 20 years before that, about 10 years before that, David Dean was a teenager himself, and he was in Campus Life. And he was sitting in Campus Life, and a guy by the name of Dave Ron was sharing the gospel, and that night David Dean surrendered his life to Christ because of the message of Dave Ron sharing in Campus Life. That's one of the reasons David is a big partner of ours in Youth for Christ, because it's dear to his heart. Why I like that story is because Dave Ron, years before that, when he was a kid, was invited by a friend to his church, and it was kind of under the guise of basketball. Dave was tall, and Brent Birdsall was led by the Spirit to ask Dave and invite him in. And because Brent Birdsall said yes to the Spirit's leading, you have this story. And today, Alex, I think of his journey, is getting married. And I think about just how that all developed through the years. We're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, there's something special. Actually, there's something supernatural when you start recognizing some of those stories, when you see God's hand at work. So we're going to look at that. Let's begin with Romans 8, 1 through 4. And it'll be the primer to the rest of the text. Paul says here, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. So we're going to talk about what does it mean to live according to the Spirit, or as Paul would say, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I was reading this, and I kept getting this image of walking in the Spirit. And it's like, I really want to unpack that, what Paul is talking about. And I think we can do that. Do you believe it's been less than a month that we celebrated Christmas? All right, confession. How many of you still have Christmas lights up at your house? Yeah, there's some that just, it's got to be year-round, doesn't it? We celebrated less than a month ago. We celebrated this incredible gift that God gave us, that he would make himself vulnerable and become flesh for us, become one of us, walk among us. He came the ultimate sacrifice to satisfy the demands of the law, and now we have full access to God through his Son. He redeemed us, made us right with God through his sacrifice, and made us right before the Father. He taught us how to live. He showed us how to love. And then he charged us to take this very message that he was living out before us to the rest of the world. So here's the scene. Jesus, before he knows he's going to be arrested and taken into custody and ultimately be hung on a cross for something he did not do, for no crime at all, he has his disciples in the upper room and he begins to tell them, like, the time has come and I'm going to be leaving you. But, and the disciples are distraught, and he says, but don't worry. I'm going to send you, I'm going to leave you a counselor. And you will be able to do more things than I was ever to do on this earth because of the counselor. And then in Acts 1, after his death and his resurrection, Jesus now appears. He says, don't do anything. Stay here until the counselor comes. You'll know when he comes. You'll know. But don't do anything. So the disciples were distraught that they were losing Jesus once again. But they're trying to get their head around what this means of this gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it happens. Acts chapter 2. As it goes on to say, you'll receive the whole... I'm sorry, in Acts 1, he says, you'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit when he comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then Acts chapter 2 happens. And you know what that scene is like. We've heard about this scene. It says it was like tongues of fire all around, and it was just incredibly crazy, something that has not been witnessed on this earth since. But the power of God came through the Holy Spirit into people, and because of that, they were speaking languages they had never spoken before, and people were understanding them, interpreting that, hearing that, and all of a sudden, the gospel was now being taken to every tongue, and now the idea was that the church would begin. And so one of the things that I've always been frustrated with since I've been in ministry, and I've never had a good answer until I really camped out on this, is like, why don't we see the power of the Holy Spirit in churches today like we saw in Acts chapter 2? I'm sure you've had that question as well. And I am here to say, I believe we see that power every single day. Alex Dean knelt with his daddy at the foot of a bed because the power of the Holy Spirit led somebody to invite somebody to the church because the gospel became a part of his life. He then had an impact on someone else who then had an impact on his own son. Isn't that the power of the Holy Spirit? But we're waiting for this to all happen like Acts chapter 2. And I'm saying, I believe that Paul is saying, this is what it looks like to see the power of the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way. And it was incredible, and the disciples didn't know what to do with this. There's a great story. The rest of the book of Acts is basically the power of the Holy Spirit now being taken. And if you watch the book of Acts and look at the different characters, whether it's Philip or Peter or Paul or Barnabas, you will see phrases where the author will say, and he was led by the Spirit to go. He was led by the Spirit to say. You'll see this all through the book of Acts. The Spirit of God is active. One story is Ananias. Ananias, who's from Damascus, he hears from the Lord, and the Lord says to him, I want you to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. You'll find a man from Tarsus named Saul. Now, Saul's been blinded from his Damascus experience, and he's praying to God, pleading to God, and Ananias is told by God, being led by the Spirit, to go, now get into Paul's presence, and I'll tell you what to do. And because of that, that was almost like the inauguration of Paul's ministry where it began, where Ananias prayed over him and he says, you have the Spirit of God. I want to explore what Paul means, what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. He uses this metaphor a lot. It's kind of a shorthand description of what this Holy Spirit in our lives. So he says, in Ephesians, he says, walk in a manner worthy of God. Walk in love. 2 Corinthians says, walk by faith, not by sight. In Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit. And then he says, let us keep in step with the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. So let's look from verses 5 on in Romans 8 and see if we can kind of gather something from this. And I hope that you can, as I did myself. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we're going to open your word. We're going to ask that you would teach us. And I pray, Father, that as the truth comes to our hearts, I pray that your Spirit would bring us some understanding that we might even be able to act on. So I pray, Father, that as we talk this morning, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, O God. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So what does it look like to walk in the Spirit? Paul begins by saying, first and foremost, verses 5 through 7, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh, flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So now we see this battle going on here. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So, I'm trying. You guys can go ahead and hit it. Let's see if I can get it. Okay, go to the first point if you can. Am I doing that or you? Go ahead. I'm done. Okay. I don't know if you've ever been to Disney World, and maybe you were there when you were a kid. You've taken your kids, and you know the ride, and you know the song, don't you? You know, I don't even have to say it. It's a small world. And this, I say it, you're gonna have this song in your head this afternoon. You're welcome. What is it about that song? Oh, maybe that it's played 3,000 times by the time you get through it. That might be it. But it just gets like ingrained into your mind. It's like this involuntary mindset. It's like you didn't even choose. Now it's here. And I have to believe that it's something like that. That song that you get in your head. Maybe it's not It's a Small World, but you know. You've come home from work and you have a song in your head like, where did I get that song? Where did I hear that? Paul's saying that is like walking in the Spirit is kind of like that. It's a mindset and it becomes so much a part of us that we don't even think about doing it. We don't get up and say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. We already have that leaning. And so the root word of mindset that Paul is talking about, I'm not going to go into the Greek word, but basically it says this. It's what you desire. It's the way your life is directed towards what you desire. It's your overall orientation or leaning of your life. If you want to get an understanding of this, go back to Romans 7, and Paul will say, and this is the thing, I keep struggling with this leaning. So I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I'm supposed to do, and then he's just like having this argument with himself, like, I don't get this. But Paul is saying, but when we do walk with the Spirit, it's like it's just a part of us, and it happens naturally. And there was a phrase in one of the songs we sang. It was something about how hard I try, something along those lines about our effort. It alluded to our effort. And I think so many of us get caught up in our Christian life about our effort. We've got to give more to God in order to. That's not it at all. It's surrendering. It's really walking by the Spirit. How do you get rid of that song or that sin in your life? And I'm not to say that It's a Small World to sin, but it's really close. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth or that terrible song will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We used to sing that song. Remember that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I think that gives us a hint. When you walk in the Spirit, you'll find that your orientation and the leaning of your heart begins to lean away from the things of this earth and towards the things of God. My guess is the day that you surrendered to Jesus for the first time, you had an incredible distaste for what was going on in your life. And you had this dissatisfaction saying it doesn't deliver. It keeps saying it's going to deliver and it doesn't deliver. And when you walk into the surrender of the Holy Spirit for the first time, you begin to see that there's something there. There's a leaning that you really want to stay in. because it satisfies. All I'm going to say is that there's a hint to this, the first point. When you set your things on the mind, on things of the Spirit, your mind on the things of the Spirit, the sooner you find yourself with this mindset in life, the more beautiful the story becomes and the deeper the desire for your walk with God. Second thing Paul talks about is this. He says, not only do I want you to walk, do you walk in the Spirit, you must set your mind on things above, but you put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. Put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. So if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 5:25 says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What are the deeds of the body? Those sin patterns. You know, when you go and you confess your sin and you find yourself confessing the same sin over and over for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, that pattern that just doesn't ever seem to be broken, that's what he's talking about. It's not going to be a try harder thing. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. We put to death the deeds of the body. It's not just enough to say no to something like a sin pattern in our life. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Like we try so hard and then we beat ourselves up and we have this guilt trip and this shame before God, which is why we then don't go spend time in the Word and prayer, because we have the shame because we said we weren't going to do it again, but yet we do it again. And all I'm saying is I know for a fact just saying no does not work. It was a stupid campaign when it came to drugs, and it's a dumb campaign no matter what you're talking about. It doesn't work because you don't have the power to do it on your own. Talk to someone trying to quit smoking. Talk to someone who's addicted to drugs. Talk to someone who made a resolution 2 weeks ago. Talk to somebody who signed a card in the 80s of True Love Waits and said they would not engage in sexual activity before they got married. Pathetically, the stats on that, those kids who signed the cards back in the 80s, the statistics about their walk versus those who did not was no different. No different whatsoever. Because signing a card doesn't mean a thing if you're not walking in the Spirit of God. So it's a nice gesture. It really is. And I don't think those things are totally out of the picture. But it must be done in surrender and walking with the Spirit. You must say no to sin by putting to death the deeds of the body. But then the way you do that is you say yes to Jesus. This is one of the things that I believe I found in my own journey. I found that the struggle in the flesh, the things of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, are best conquered when I'm not trying to defeat these and wrestle these down in my life. They're actually best conquered when I pursue him, when I'm actually walking in step with him. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. That's what the verse is talking about. That's what that song's talking about. When we focus on the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit, these aren't even issues anymore. And all of a sudden, we begin to walk in step with the Spirit, and we have this life and this depth in our life that we never had before. So when you walk in the Spirit, you'll set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You'll put to death the things of the deeds of the body or your flesh, and then you'll be led by the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, verse 14, and are children of God, the Holy Spirit, one of the things I heard a pastor say recently is that the Holy Spirit leads us generally, meaning he wants to generally lead us life overall, but he also leads us very specifically. And what that means is, generally, he says, go, walk with me. Specifically, sometimes he'll say, go there. I want you to talk to them. Go there, I want you to serve. Go there, go serve soup at the kitchen. Go there and help your neighbor. Those are the specific calls that the Spirit of God will give us. Philip got this in the book of Acts. You'll notice that one of the things that was happening, the Spirit of God told Philip, there's an Ethiopian eunuch reading the Word of God. I want you to go and talk with him. He told him, go down this road. And he went up to him and he says, what are you reading? He goes, I'm reading the Scriptures. Do you know what you're saying? No, how can I understand what it means unless someone explains it to me? And in that moment, Philip understood why the Holy Spirit led him to that chariot, so that he would have an opportunity to explain who God was to him. And as a result of them, he baptized him as well. John 10 says, Jesus is saying, I know my sheep and my sheep know my voice. I will speak to them. We even see this thread in Psalm 23, 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. He guides me. When I walk with him, he will guide me. And that is a promise that is something we should keep. His name was Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher in an old traditional church. Teenage boys. Every week they would come, seven or eight boys sit there, bored to death, not really listening, heads down, looking at the, never ever participating. Edward Kimball, week after week, would be faithful to do this. One day, when Edward Kimball was sitting in his chair, having his time with God, he felt this prompting. I want you to go to this one kid in your class. He's working at the shoe store. I want you to go there. I want you to talk to him. I want you to tell him how much I love him, how much I care for him, and I want him to know that I want him to be my child and I want to be his father. So Edward Kimball went to this shoe store, kind of sheepishly, not really wanting to do this, but walks in. He sees the kid, he's helping somebody, but after the customer leaves, he goes up to him. He says, hey, Mr. Kimball, what are you doing here? You want some shoes? He goes, no, I just need to talk to you. Can I talk to you a minute? He puts his hand on his shoulder and he just begins to tell him how much. I just felt like God was telling me today that I wanted you to know how much he loves you. And he would love for you to walk with him. He wants to be your father. And then there was just this awkward silence. This kid didn't know what to do. He's a teenage boy. What do you do when someone does that to you? And Edward Kimball goes, well, okay. Turns around, he walks out the store. And he's walking down the sidewalk like, God, why did you have me do that? That was so embarrassing. He's never going to come back. He's going to tell his friends, and I'm going to be sitting there alone next week. Why? Oh, I'm just questioning what he just did. When the store closed, that student locked up, turned around, sat on the steps of the business, and just broke in tears and surrendered his life to Jesus. Because it was the very thing he was waiting for. He wanted the invitation. He needed someone to invite him into that relationship. That student's name is D.L. Moody. I think it's a cool story. What would happen if Edward Kimball had not said yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life? Moody Bible Institute. D.L. Moody went all over the world preaching the gospel. He had all kinds of impact on Christendom years ago. When you walk in the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit, and that's when the supernatural happens. How about you? Do you have a story like that? My guess is all of us do. I know I've had people that have just had a prompting from God that just comes like, hey, Roger, I just wanted to talk to you. Particularly when I was younger, I've had people do this. How many have had something like that happen in their own lives? Someone's come into your life like that. How many of you have had that same experience where you felt God prompted you and you went and you had the conversation, you went and you acted upon what you felt God told you to do? How many have done that? My guess is you saw a glimpse of the power of God because you said yes to the Holy Spirit. There's something special when we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. So when you walk in the Spirit, you set your mind on things above, of the Spirit. You put to death the deeds of the flesh. You'll be led by the Spirit. And then finally, you will be, if you can help me, you will know God as Father. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I camped out on this passage, this one was just got me stuck a little bit. It just felt like that it was progressing and then kind of like this was here. And I was trying to figure out why. It says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd never know what it is to find the freedom and the identity in God, as God's adoptive children. He's like an agent that represents you as a child and brings you into the presence of your adopted father and say, this is now your father. Now, that may not mean a lot to some of us, but others of us, me included, for those of us who did not have a great relationship with your father or zero relationship with your father, one of the things that this hope is that I believe there is healing that can come from that relationship or lack of or broken relationship because he becomes our father. And he tells you, you do belong, you are mine, I will protect you, I will guide you. And this is a truth that I believe more and more people need to get their heads around. There's three things that I know that came out of this passage. He acts as an advocate for us to the Father. He brings us to the Father. And then he teaches us through prayer, and he helps us in our prayers. The scripture, Paul's saying, the Holy Spirit will help you in talking to the Father. There will be groans, there will be silent groans, and he will actually interpret your prayers to the Father. I know there are people in this room who struggle with their prayer life. They don't know what to say. All I'm saying to you, please don't stop praying because you don't know how to do this. Surrender and just say, God, I don't know what to say, and let the Holy Spirit say the things of your heart before the Father. Sit in silence and let him speak for you because he will. And then he testifies with our spirit that we are indeed his children. I don't know how else to illustrate this other than what I lived out. Years ago, we had a girl that lived with us. And her name was Sabrina. She came into our home when she was 15 years old. She wasn't, we didn't adopt her. We weren't even foster parents. It was kind of like a foster situation. But we became her guardians, her legal guardians. What a journey. 3.5, 4 years. And I know she came to know Christ at Campus Life. And again, Dave Ron's a part of that story as well. And we opened our home to her because she had nowhere to go at the time. And all I'm going to say is I could say a lot of things about this, but there was just a period of time. She was actually just getting ready to graduate high school, and it was just like constant fighting and constant disrespect of our home and our children and our rules. And I just finally just said, I went to her room, and I just sat down saying, I'm done. I don't know why you continue to push back and to try to violate the things we do just to test us, but I want you to know, I'm going to say this for the last time, we love you and we're committed to you and we're not going anywhere. So you can keep doing these things, but it's not going to change our relationship with you. Keep doing it, but it's not changing our love. And after that, there was a change of heart because I think what she was doing, she didn't even realize it. She was doing these things very, very subconsciously to push us out of her life to prove that we would also leave her just like everyone else had in her life. I believe Paul is telling us that when he becomes Abba Father, that it's good, it's for life. There's nothing you can do where you are not his child. You will sin, but he will forgive you. There will be consequences sometimes, but he will still forgive you. He will walk with you. He will still be your father. That's the best I can do in understanding that and in that moment. And I think there is something, and Sabrina would tell me today, that was a change, a moment of change in her heart, and she began to realize what she had in front of her. And please hear my heart. I am not saying this like, look how awesome the Bezos are, because they are not. But we had a lot of people in their lives. Ron knows because he was at the college when she was there, and he knows the story. And but it's a beautiful story as she has 5 children today and adopting one from Ukraine. So definitely a life change. So when you walk in the Spirit, you'll set your mind on the things of the Spirit, put to death the things of the body. You'll be led by the Spirit. You'll know God as your Father, and then he will give you hope in the Spirit. Not only so, verses 23 to 25, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but the hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have, but we hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. I'm just going to say quickly on this point. I love this word. It's a word my daughter and I kind of have a connection about. We've talked about it, and this is a word that she just loves. And I love hope. And I know we think we know what hope is because we make statements like, I hope the professor goes easy on me in my paper as you turn it in at 3 in the morning. I hope I get an A on the exam, or I hope I get a C+ so I can pass the course. And something I no longer have to say, I hope the Cubs win the World Series. That's really cool. Yeah. Those statements, they're not statements of hope. Those are statements of wishful thinking because you have nothing to do with it. I hope this happens. The biblical understanding of hope, if you look at it, it says it's an eager expectation, a confident anticipation. I love that definition. A confident, it's not wishful thinking when we talk about hope in Jesus. It's confidence that what he did on the cross will change the story and change history. That's what hope is. We live in that confidence. And when we walk in the Spirit, we walk in that hope. It's not a lack of confidence. It's a hope that we should have every single day. I think that's why these crazy people called wise men, these crazy people called shepherds, went to this because they were living in a state of hope. And you might think it's crazy with this journey that they got on to get there, but you and I, the outsiders would looking in, but you understand what hope is all about. Hope gets you to do things that you'd never dream of. Why? Because we have this incredible confidence and anticipation of what he'll do. So when we walk in the Spirit, we'll set our mind on the things above. We'll put the things, the deeds of the flesh, death to the deeds of the flesh. We'll be led by the Spirit. We'll know God as Father. We'll have hope in the Spirit. And then because of those things, we will then pray in the Spirit. It will help us to pray in the Spirit. I'm not big on resolutions because I'm terrible at them. So I just don't do them. But if you were to have any kind of goal this year, here's what I would challenge you with. What would it look like if you said, this year, Lord Jesus, I desire to walk in the Spirit, in step with the Spirit, like Paul is challenging me. Just make that resolution. Surrender before him, walk through this text, and see what he might do through your life. Because when you say yes, if you can go to the next slide, you say yes to experiencing something supernatural. It may not be like the second chapter of Acts, but it might be like this. And so the rest of the story. D.L. Moody says yes to Jesus, right? He goes on and he becomes trained in the Word of God and he ends up preaching throughout the United States, but he also goes across the world. Years later, Moody's preaching in London, England. A pastor named Frederick Meyer was deeply stirred, and as a result, he went to his own nation, into his own nationwide preaching ministry. On one occasion, Meyer was preaching. A college student named Wilbur Chapman heard him and accepted Christ. He went out and began to share the gospel. And he employed a young baseball player named Billy Sunday. Billy was a great baseball player, but he was also a deeply committed man of God and became one of the greatest evangelists of his generation. When Billy Sunday preached the gospel in Charlotte, North Carolina, it was such a great meeting that he was invited back. But Billy couldn't come back. It didn't work for him. But Billy said, you need to get this man, Mordecai Ham. He needs to come and preach the word for you. I will guarantee you will not be disappointed. Ham went to Charlotte, preached, but not many people really responded to his invitation. It wasn't as Billy Sunday had said. But on one of the last nights, a tall, lanky boy who worked on a local dairy farm walked forward and he gave his life to Christ. He was known back then as Billy Frank, and we know him today as Billy Graham. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad D.L. Moody said yes, because Edward Kimball said yes, and Frederick Meyer said yes, and Wilbur Chapman said yes, and Billy Sunday said yes, and Mordecai Ham said yes, and Billy Graham said yes, and thousands upon thousands of people have said yes to Jesus because of the Holy Spirit working in one man's life and continuing to work throughout history. And there are thousands of stories like this all over the world. and you are a part of one of them. Here's what I'd like to ask us to think about. What would it look like if we all said yes to Jesus today, tomorrow, to walk in the Holy Spirit? A lot of people are looking for this incredible second chapter of Acts, this power. And I'm saying that power is being spread out throughout the world. You put your arms around that and bring it into one place, it'll blow away the second chapter of Acts. Let's pray. Father God, I know you desire to do a work in and through us. And Father, I know that if we took time, we could have people walk up here and talk about, because someone said yes to Jesus, this happened in my life. Because I said yes to walking in the Spirit, this happened in my life and in someone else's life. We could all give witness to your Spirit doing a work that is supernatural. The good news is you desire to do more. Father, help us to say yes to walking in the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.